How about a little Friday frivolity with Travis?
Yes, good morning. Good morning, P1s. Thank you, Invasion. So Donovan did his book review of our quarterly commitment yesterday, and you brought in your next book today.
Oh, I did. Yes, yes.
And this had another famous comedian, yes?
I will read Arsenio, a memoir. I have it in my hands right now. One of the guys that you want to talk about appointment watching when I was in college of his late night show. And I am excited to see how this all came about. That dude's show meant so much to me, man. And so looking forward to it. I have a couple other suggestions that I looked at, was going to purchase. But as soon as I saw this, I went, okay, this is it. I think this is my lane as far as reading will go now.
Okay.
I'll dive into fiction or
you gotta start with something that gets you interested in it.
I'm definitely interested in this.
And one thing I like to do, I'm kind of like, I think I'm the opposite of a lot of readers where I like having a visual in my head going into like a fiction novel and knowing what I'm kind of getting into. So I pick I read a lot of books that I've already seen the movie to, and then I like reading the book adaptation afterwards. So I was always a huge fan of the Will Smith film I Am Legend. Really liked the movie, but I'd always heard the book was immensely different. So it was written in 1954 by Richard Matheson. It's kind of the same basic concept. It's a man that is the last survivor of a horrible infection that turns everybody into a monster-like creature. Now, in the book, they are way more vampire than they are in the movie, and so much so that they talk. Like, they're basically your Dracula-type vampire. They come out at night, and they throw rocks at his house that he has. He's got it all fortified. He's got all the supplies he needs. But it deals a lot with isolation and grief. Like, yes, he has survived, but he is horribly depressed because every week or two he is contemplating the fact that he is the last person alive. And he meets a dog. The dog scene goes a little bit different than it did in the movie. In the book, he spends a week just trying to get the dog to come to him. He's trying to bait it with food, and he ends up chasing it at a certain point because he's so excited to have a companion during this isolation time, and then he finally gets it to trust him, and it dies like a week later.
Oh, no. Yes. Is this a movie that I need to watch?
You've not seen it with Will Smith?
I have not.
You should check this out. This is a fun one.
Okay.
It's very, very good. There's a lot of alternate endings. There's a couple that I would say are preferred, and they're going to be doing a new one that it kind of continues off one of those alternate endings coming up. One of the other things that it deals with, and it does kind of come into play in the movie a little bit. In the movie, he's already kind of like the world's most foremost scientist on infection and disease and stuff. Well, in the book, he's kind of just a guy. And he learns about all these things, and he starts doing experiments on the vampires, trying to figure out how to kill them, how to possibly heal them. And he spends a lot of his time during the day going house to house, finding them sleeping and killing them. So when he meets this girl, Ruth, about three quarters of the way through the book, and he initially thinks that she is a vampire, but she's out in the middle of the day, so she can't be a vampire. Well, he does the same thing that he did with the dog. He kind of chases after her, scares her, and kind of kidnaps her and takes her back to the house and tells her she can't leave for a little bit. And he has some thoughts that are vocalized throughout the novel, and then especially when he has the lady in his house. Well, she ends up escaping. They're cool, but he's still being kind of weird about it. She ends up escaping by... And before she does, she kind of just like lets it be known that she is a new hybrid. She is the new society that's been built over the past 4 or 5 years since the sickness has taken everybody, and they are terrified of this guy, and that's why she was sent out to do a recon mission. But while she was there, she liked him. She thought he was a weirdo, but nice, and she told him, "You need to leave this house now. Because if you are here when my people come back, they are going to kill you.
Yeah, you're a goner.
You're a goner." He didn't take that advice. And they came back, And then when they come back, he's isolated in the house. He's barricaded in the house, but they're killing all of the like mindless vampires outside. And he's contemplating, do I run? Do I fight? What do I do? And he has come up upon this a bunch of times throughout the book. And he usually comes to the conclusion to fight. Hiding isn't generally what he does. And just waiting isn't generally what he does. And in this case, he has started coming to the concept of that maybe he is the scourge on the earth. And so they get in the house, they capture him, and they take him back to the new vampire base where Ruth, the girl, comes into the pokey where they're keeping him locked up until they're going to have a public execution, and you know, kind of talks to him about, why didn't you leave? And that's when he finally comes to the realization that everybody outside, all of these vampires are terrified of him. He is the legend. And that's how the book ends, with him saying, I am legend. And then they off screen usher him off to die.
Now, forgive me if you said this at the very beginning. Is this book the same title as the movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. It's it was a lot shorter than I thought it was. So when I have the like paperback, and it's the same thickness as what would like a 320-page book be. Well, there's like 7 short stories at the end of it, and I read like 2 of them. Like, what does this have anything to do with what the book I just read was? So I ended up thinking, I didn't quite take the full pilgrimage into big book bitchdom, so I wanted to take on another one. And I had started reading Seth Rogen's yearbook 3 or 4 years ago. It came out in 2021. I probably got it not very long after it came out. Seth Rogen, the actor, writer, one of my favorite famous people out there, and he wrote a book called Yearbook, and it's a collection of personal essays. It's kind of a memoir type style.
That's up my alley right there.
This is something I think you'd be more interested in, because it starts with his entry into showbiz, because he started doing stand-up when he was 12 years old at a lesbian bar in Vancouver, because that was the only place that would allow a 12-year-old.
12 years old?
Yeah. And most of the places in Vancouver, and probably around the country and North America in general, have some rules about it, and 12 is a little early to let him in. And this place would not only let him in, but all of the comedians there kind of like ingratiated him into their group and accepted him. Starts there, talks about himself growing up with his buddies, of course, his writing partner, Evan Goldberg. He's known him since he was 10 years old. Talks about the tough road that it can be to be Jewish in today's society, and how there were a lot of things that they would say to each other within the community, and then, you know, not within the community, that he wouldn't even realize were not real cool to say to somebody that is Jewish or is of a certain belief. He talks about about run-ins with celebrities. One of the really funny ones was at the Grammys, and he was presenting a Grammy, and he was really nervous. And he saw Beyonce backstage, and he's, you know, his wife's a big fan. He's a big fan. It's Beyonce. Come on, you gotta go say hi to Beyonce. But he was looking for a drink to kind of calm his nerves. He finally stumbles into Bob Dylan's like set, whatever, and there's like a bar back there. He gets a nice delicious screwdriver, and he accidentally spills his drink all over himself, because as he was trying to say hi to Beyonce, her security shoved him back.
No doubt. I'm pretty sure.
And this is, you know, at the height of Seth Rogen too. It's not like nobody knows who Seth Rogen is. He talks about one of his early auditions when he was trying to get started. I think this is after Freaks and Geeks, the Judd Apatow TV show. After, I think, freshman year, the one that they did right after that, very similar, just like a graduation thing. He auditioned to play opposite of Eminem in 8 Mile. Him and Jason Segel both did.
For what role? Cheddar Bob?
Maybe. I can't remember
the one that shot himself with his own gun.
Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen that movie.
Jump.
I'm saying
all
movie
six
in
of you
25
punks.
Years,
right?
Probably.
Well, him and Jason Segel both auditioned for the same role, and they were living together. And you'll be shocked to know there's a lot of drug use that gets talked about in this book as well. And they got really high the night before and thought, well, you know what? We're both reading for the role. let's call our manager and see if I can go first and then you can go second, and we'll just kind of work off of each other. Well, you know how it is when you get two friends working on a project and nothing actually gets done.
Yeah.
Because when they got in there, got through about three lines, couldn't stop laughing, and just said, you know what? We're probably not the right fellas for this gig. I think my favorite part of the book was him telling a story about meeting Nicolas Cage, who we all know is a bit of a wheels-off character. And this was at the time that Seth Rogen was making the Green Hornet movie. And they were having a lot of problems on that film. And one of them was, is they were looking for a villain. And they went to a meeting to talk to Nick Cage about potentially being the villain. And they got to the lunch, you know, they're kind of giving him and his people their vision for the film. And Nick Cage tells them, okay, that's all good, but I have an idea for the character that I would like to play. And it was a white guy from Jamaica that spoke just like, you know, Bob Marley. And he has dreads, and he's got a lot going on. And he did a full, like, scene in the middle of a restaurant as this guy, Nick Cage, did. They didn't love the idea, and maybe it would have made the movie better because the movie did not do that well. Well, then a few years later, James Franco does a movie called Spring Breakers where he's playing a white guy with a Jamaicanish accent that has cornrows, and it wasn't that big of a film. It didn't do like amazing, but it was an early A24 film that got a little bit of pub, and that led to a lunch where Nick Cage's representation gets in touch with Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg and just want to have a lunch, want to talk about something, you know, maybe a project upcoming. And they get to the lunch, and, you know, it's niceties at first. Nick Cage is there, and Nick Cage accuses Seth Rogen straight out of stealing his idea for that character and giving it to James Franco for the character in Spring Breakers. And they move on fairly quickly, but at no point do they get the sense that Nick Cage believed them, that they did not steal the character idea. Weird. It's a fun little memoir type book. If you like reading about celebrity encounters and drug use, try out Yearbook by Seth Rogen. It's fun.
There you go. See, we got it done.
You guys are readers.
The book bitch has influenced his flock to read. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to knock this one out before September, before the due date.
Maybe you'll read another book then. Maybe you'll read two before September.
Well, if I do that.
Wow, jeez.
I got to find my next one. I'm kind of in between. I started one, got about a page in, wasn't feeling it. Herman Melville wasn't really doing it for me.
I would imagine.
Do you think it will take like a page or two? How far deep into a book will you give it before you say, no, this is not for me, and you'll move on?
I usually go a couple of chapters or so, but it's pretty rare that I don't finish one, even if I don't like it.
Right, just kind of knock it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are on this journey. Arsenio, the memoir is next for me. We'll figure out what is next for Travis. And we'll join the book bitch in the sport of reading.